Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we give you this last session. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've spoken. Lord, oh, encouraging us. Oh, Lord, inspiring us to run this race. Lord, to finish the course. Lord Jesus, Lord, we just give ourselves to you afresh. Lord, we want to love you with the first love. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Bless this last session, Lord. Grant us ears to hear your speaking, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been a wonderful time here together to hear the Lord speaking. I particularly enjoyed yesterday reading the reading portion for message two. On those verses, Mark 6:45 and 2 Corinthians 5:14. So Mark says that he compelled his disciples to step into the boat and go to the other side, right? And then we shared yesterday, they had contrary winds, right? It wasn't an easy boat ride, but the Lord appeared and told them to take courage, right? And they made it safely across. So I feel this is the Lord, right? Today, he's speaking to us. He's compelling us to go forward. Amen. And that word compelled can also be constrained, right? Constrained. So I looked up, what does constrained mean? Constrained means to force by imposed structure, restriction, or limitation. To compress, right? To force or produce in an unnatural or strained manner, compel or force to follow a particular course of action. So this is our Lord Jesus, right? He's telling us, young people, run the race, go forward, right? Finish the course. Amen. So I appreciate it in the reading. It says, the most important task for us, each of us, is to put ourselves into God's hand in a quiet, patient, prayerful, consecrated, and obedient way, and wholeheartedly seek after his leading. Amen. Praise the Lord. May this be our prayer. Amen. And then I enjoyed in also in message three on that picture of the two on the way walking to Emmaus, right? And then the Lord, you know, he walked with them and just opened the scriptures to them. And that caused their hearts to burn, right? I just feel like that's what the Lord's been doing this whole weekend, is just opening the scriptures to us, causing our hearts to burn, our love for him to burn brightly. Can I get an amen? That's right. Praise the Lord. So we are continuing and concluding to the last message here, message four. And before we get started on that, just want to, you know, after this, we're all going to pack up and leave back to our homes, right? Back to our normal lives. So, you know, hopefully this weekend you've been, you know, not only inspired to run and finish this course, but also have been equipped, right? To bring back, when you go home, to bring back, you know, that you would keep running, right? So we're not running just in the conferences, but we're running every day, right? In the reading, you're going to cover this in the group time, is the first portion is another excerpt from Watchman Nee, and it's on four aspects of to receive the Lord speaking, right? To receive the Lord speaking. So it's regarding Mary in Luke chapter 10, and she was there in the house of Bethany. At the Lord's feet, and you know, that portion, Martha's complaining that she's not serving, right? She's so busy serving, but the Lord says she chose the better part, right? And so we can learn from Mary this proper attitude. And so there's these four points. I hope you will read this, remember this, and apply this every day to your time with the Lord, right? So firstly, she drew near to the Lord, all right? So every day we need to draw near to the Lord, right? Not to your phone, Not to, oh, what the agenda is for that day, the plan, but to the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, she humbled her position. She put herself down, right? That is, the tambo means to ignore herself, negating her herself, considering herself as nothing. And the Lord, see, the Lord, he resists the proud, right? Oh, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. So we need to be humble before the Lord. So I like to say every day to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I need you, right? I can't make it without you. Amen. And then three, she was quiet before the Lord. And I have a little burden here, you know, in the midst of this age, you know, in our small group, they said one of the distractions that young people face today is social media, right? All these posts, TikTok, these videos, right? You can spend hours, you know, and there, these companies, they have algorithms designed to, you know, have you stay as long as you can on their apps, right? They want to just occupy your time and just have you look at all of their, all these posts. But, and that just, you know, distracts us. It just causes our mind to be busy. But instead, we need to be quiet before the Lord, right? Just have, that's why it's good in the morning to go first thing, go to him before, you know, before you're busy with your day, you know, just in the quietness of the morning, just to come to him. Amen. And then fourthly, she was listening to the Lord's word. Amen. So we need to be those who listen to the Lord's word. Right? And I appreciate, you know, this in this reading, it says, it's a shame if we, you know, come to the Lord's, you know, like a message, like to this morning, but we don't meet the Lord behind the voice, right? So the whole point is we're here to meet the Lord Jesus, right? Every day. We're coming to him to meet him. Amen. And so if we can remember these four points, then we'll continually have the Lord's rich speaking that will keep our love burning brightly for him. Amen. So let's come to message four. Let's read the title together of this message. Receiving the kingdom reward. Crown of righteousness. Amen. So this is the last verse of the ones that we've been covering this whole weekend. So 2 Timothy 4, 7 or 4, 8. Amen. So we're running this race to receive the kingdom reward, which is the crown of righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this Roman numeral 1 is really packed. There's a lot in here. So I'm going to try and unpack this, but let's read it together. In order for us to enjoy Christ as our kingdom reward, we must love the Lord's appearing, which is his appearing and manifestation to us today, and his presence with his people at his coming. By staying on the constricted way of being watchful in life and faithful in service, to be constituted as the bride of Christ. Amen. So that's right. For us to enjoy the kingdom reward, we need to love the Lord's appearing. Amen. And so, you know, we've been talking about the kingdom, you know, the reward. Just to be clear for those who are new among us, right? We're not talking about you. This is not your salvation, right? This is not being, you know, how we are. We're not saved by doing works, right? John 3:16, right? Believe into the Son, you will not perish, right? You have eternal life. So every believer has God's eternal life. Praise the Lord, right? So we're saved from the lake of fire, right? Every genuine believer is saved from the lake of fire. But before that judgment, there's a period of time called the millennial kingdom. Right? And that's for 1,000 years. It's going to be after the Great Tribulation. And that's what we're talking about. The reward is to enter into the millennial kingdom, right? In victory as an overcomer. And so for that, right? And if we don't, if you know, the other Christians who don't are not ready, right? They have this place called the outer darkness, right? And so it's not a place where we want to be. It's like a summer school to be fully matured in the Lord's life, right? So we want to be those who enter into the kingdom reward, into the millennial kingdom, right? Amen. So to do that, right, we must love the Lord's appearing. Amen. And I appreciate this. It says his appearing is and manifestation is to us today. It's today, right? A lot of times you think, oh, that must be talking about when he comes back, his second coming. But actually, he appears to us, he can appear to us every day, right? Paul in Acts 26:16, I think it's here, says, but rise up and stand on your feet. This is the Lord speaking to Paul. Rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness, both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you. So here, Paul, the Lord's telling Paul, yes, I appear to you on your way to Damascus and you got saved, but I'm going to appear to you again, right? So we need his constant, continual appearing, right? This is how we go on. So we need to love that. We need to love that. And I appreciate from the Richmond Conference, I don't know if you all caught this, but Brother Louis Chen, at the end, he shared, after that wonderful conference, that we need to be those who don't give up our birthright, right? Like Esau, right? He gave up his birthright to Jacob because he was so hungry for that food. Instead, we need to be those who really treasure the Lord, treasure the Lord's speaking, right? Treasure the Lord's appearing, right? So all that you've heard this weekend, brothers and sisters, don't let it just fall to the ground, right? After you go home, continue to pray over what you've received, read over the readings, the outlines, your notes. So this really becomes part of your constitution, right? This is the way, brothers and sisters, to not give up our birthright, right? To keep what is precious, care for what is precious. Amen. And then also, his presence is also his presence with his people at his second coming. Amen. Right. So it's both. It's both of these things. We need to love his coming, his appearing. And then it says, by staying on the constricted way. Right. So how do we love his appearing? It's by staying on the constricted way. And so this is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And this is, I just really enjoyed getting to this. Praise the Lord for this portion. This is on the constitution of the kingdom people. Oh, hallelujah. Like the United States, we have a wonderful constitution, right? Well, did you know, brothers and sisters, that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heavens, has a constitution also, right? And that's unveiled by the Lord in Matthew chapters 5 and 6. So these two chapters are famous, even to non-believers, right? They look at these chapters as great teachings, great philosophy, to live an ethical life. It's actually much, much more. It's really for us, for his believers, right? Because very important point here is that we can't live the kingdom life on our by our own self-effort, by our natural strength and our trying, but it's by the Lord's life and nature, right? So this is why we call each other's brothers and sisters, right? Because we all share God, our Father's life and nature, right? Praise the Lord. So this is for us, this constitution, and this and these are those famous verses like, blessed are those, there's these nine blessings, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Amen. And then I skip here a little bit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. So there's all these blessings, right? Amen. So we need to be these people, right? And then it also talks about in this constitution, the Lord, talks about the law, right? The law of there's a law in the kingdom, right? But it's he takes the old law of the Testament, Old Testament, Ten Commandments, and he uplifts them to a higher level, right? He says, right? So he's talking about being angry. Like, so the law says you should not murder, right? You shall not murder. But he says, I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be liable to the judgment. And whoever says to his brother Raka shall be liable to the judgment of the Sanhedrin. So he's taking the law to a whole nother higher level. So we can't, we need the Lord to help us with our anger, right? We shouldn't have any anger toward our brothers or sisters. So we need to deal with the Lord so there's no anger. And then also he talks about you know, that the law says do not commit adultery. Right? But he says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman in order to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Oh, so brothers, we need to watch our looking. Care for our looking, right? Don't look with lustful intent, right? Then you've already committed adultery in your heart already. So the Lord has increased or uplifted this law. And then in chapter 6, he talks about the will, right? The will of God. So he says, in teaching them to pray, he says, right? Your will be done as it is in heaven, so also on earth, right? So a lot of Christians want to know what is the will of God for me, right? Right, it's good. You know, it's good. I mean, we should want to know what God's will is for us. But I appreciate that the ministry opens this up. Right, opens the scripture here. That's not really the right question. Right, the right question for us, brothers and sisters, and this is really for especially for the juniors and seniors. Where are our juniors, seniors? Raise your hands. Juniors, yes. Right. What college are you going to go to? Right. So you go, oh Lord Jesus, what is your will? What college do you want me to go to, right? That's the wrong question, actually. The right question is, what is, Lord, what is, in light of your will, or no, it is, what is God's will for God? That's the first question. What is God's will for God, right? And we see that in Matthew 16, the Lord reveals God's will for God is that he will build the church upon the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, right? And this will, you know, defeat the enemy. This will shut the gates of Hades, right? So this should be our will, brothers and sisters, right? Our lives are for God's will. That's why we exist. That's why we are his people, is for his will. We're standing against Satan's will, right? Which is against all of this, right? So we are for the building of the church, right? So that's why we have the prophesying meeting, right? Praise the Lord. Prophesying builds up the church. We're learning to speak for Christ, speak forth Christ. This is how the body, this is how the church is built up. And so this is God's will, right? So in light of God's will for God, Lord, what is your will for me? Right? That's what we should pray to the Lord. That's what we should pray to the Lord. So for you juniors and seniors looking at colleges, you know, Lord, since your will is for building up the church, Lord, lead me to right school, right college that will keep me in the church life. It could be a part of the building up of the church, right? Throughout my college years and beyond. We need to learn to have our will be in accord with God's will, right? Not in conflict, not veering away from, but in harmony with God's will. So praise the Lord for Matthew chapter 6. And then he also goes on and says, we need to overcome our anxiety, right? The world is so worried about what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat. But he says, you don't have to worry about that. He says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, And all these things will be added to you, right? So hallelujah, we are here, brothers and sisters, today, this weekend, seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness, right? The kingdom today is the church. His righteousness is the Lord Jesus today, right? So we are here seeking Christ in the church first, amen. And all these things are taken care of. And that's really my testimony, brothers and sisters, is, you know, I was, you know, after college, really wanting to get married, but I worried, oh, am I ever going to get married? You know, this went on and on. All these other brothers were getting married and not me. So, but the Lord spoke this to me: seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he did. He added me a wife eventually, a little bit later than I was hoping for. But he's true to his word, brothers and sisters. So praise the Lord. So then we come to chapter 7, right? And in chapter 7 of Matthew, he comes to this portion here that we're covering, and that's Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. How about we read that together? It's on page 24. Okay, got it? Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. Because narrow is the gate, and constricted is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Right. So this is a very, very important verse. Two very important verses. So, you know, as young people, and I have, well, my children are young people, I see, you know, and I was the same way when I was a young kid. You want to be like everyone else at school, right? Just want to blend in, go along, not be different, not stand out. But we need to heed this word, brothers and sisters, right? The broad way leads to destruction, right? And it's actually talking about not, again, you know, your salvation, eternal salvation, talking about your works, right? Your living, what you built, will be destroyed if you take the broad way, right? The world is taking. Instead, we need to enter through the narrow gate, right? And this is the constricted way. So I looked up, what does that word constricted mean? And it means narrow, especially by encircling pressure, to make narrow or draw together, compress, squeeze. So it's a narrow, right? It's a pressing way. So, I think as young people, you know, and this is really all from Matthew, life study chapter or message 24. Brother Lee says this, so I think it's very true. Like, young people are just waiting to graduate high school so they can be free of all restrictions, right? Not be constricted in any way of their parents' rules and regulations. But actually, brothers and sisters, we need constriction, right? We need to take the way of constriction. God's way is a way of constriction. And actually, by being constricted in his way, we grow faster. We run faster on this race, right? So we need this, brothers and sisters. We need this. And it leads to life, right? It leads to life. And few are those who find it. And so praise the Lord for this word. And then also in that chapter, he talks about, you know, after that, like many, many believers at the end will go to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens, right? So these ones, they did a lot of good things. They cast out demons, right? But nonetheless, he calls them, he says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, Lord Jesus. So we really need to heed and take God's constricted way, right? Not the broad way, the easy way, the loose way, our way, but take his way. So that when we come to the kingdom, he welcomes us in and doesn't tell us to go away and say he doesn't know us. How devastating, how What a tragedy that is, right? Your whole life, you're building a building, you're working for the Lord, only to for him to say, you know, depart from me, worker of lawlessness. So this is a very sobering word. Amen. So we need to stay on the constricted way, right? And how? How do we do that? By being watchful in life. So this is Matthew 25, watchful in life and then faithful in service. So this is the song we sang. It's on that parable in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins, which we've talked about in previous conferences. So, right, 10 virgins waiting for the Lord to appear, the bridegroom. They all had their lamps, but they all fell asleep. Five of them had extra oil in their vessel, and the other five did not. So their lamps gave out. And so when, you know, they asked the others for the, you know, why can you share? You know, sharing is caring. They said, no, you need to go to those who sell the oil and buy for yourselves, right? You need to buy for yourselves. And then right when they, you know, after that, the Lord appears, that the bridegroom comes, and those who had the extra oil in their vessels were able to enter into the wedding feast. And that is a picture, brothers and sisters, of the millennial kingdom, right? We want to enter in. So we have to have extra oil. That means spirit in our vessel, which is our soul, right? Our soul. So we have, every genuine believer has oil in their spirit, but we need to gain an extra supply, right? As we were saying in the song, for our soul. So, you know, hallelujah for the conference, right? We're getting a lot of oil this weekend in our mind, emotion, and will, in our soul. But we need to every day buy more and more oil and fill up our vessels, right? So that we are ready for the Lord's coming. And so that's a matter of life, being watchful in life, and then also faithful in service. So that's the other parable there about the talents. You know, the master gave the three servants 5 talents, 3 talents, 1 talent. And the 5 talent, 3 talented ones, they produce another 5 and 3. And so they entered into the joy of their master. But the 1 talented one buried their talent into the earth. And when he came back, he only had the one. He didn't have an increase. And the Lord called him evil, slothful slave, right? And he was cast into the outer darkness. So, you know, that's a matter of our service. So we also need to be serving ones, right? Learn to serve the Lord, right? And what is your talent? So you may say like, oh, I don't have much. You know, the Lord hasn't given me much, but everyone has at least 1 talent, right? Every believer has at least 1 talent. And talent there is a measure of weights, and it's equivalent to 1 year's wages. So that's actually a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So we should not say we're poor, right? We also have been enriched. We have a rich portion from the Lord, and we need to invest it and do business that it would increase, right? So that's in your service, be it, you know, maybe sharing the gospel with your fellow students, or maybe serving in children's service or other services. We need to serve the Lord, right? And through our serving, we have an increase for the Lord. So we need to be faithful to serve. Amen. And we do this, and we will be constituted as a bride of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How about brothers read letter A? Loving the Lord's appearing and loving the Lord himself are inseparable. Amen. Right. So you can't say, oh, Lord, I love you, but I don't want you to appear yet. It's contradictory, right? It's contradictory. We need to love the Lord and love his appearing. So it's the same thing. And, you know, I think, you know, I was a young person. I didn't grow up in the church life, but I remember being scared by the thought of the Lord's return. Like, oh, I have things I want to do with my life. I want to, you know, get married. I want to, you know, have a family, this and that, go to college. But, and if that's your case, just tell the Lord that, right? We all start there. But through our spending time with him, receiving him, his infusion, right? Like we're receiving this weekend. Little by little, this love will grow, right? And to the point where we just love him above everything, right? Just want him to come back. And amen. Praise the Lord. All right, how about sisters, read B. Right. Right. Amen. This is crucial. So we need to be those, we need to be the lovers of God. And so just want to mention a verse here, Proverbs 4:23. You know, we talked about this weekend about guarding, you know, our heart with the breastplate of righteousness, right? So this goes along with that. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the issues of life. Amen. So we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our heart. Be careful what we love. Because what you love, you become, right? If you love God, there's a hymn we have. If you love God, you become God. If you love, is it what, love dirt, dust, then you'll become dust, right? Everything else is a vanity apart from the Lord. So we need to love the Lord Jesus. And so, you know, our heart is very sticky. Our heart is very sticky. So we need to guard it. So, you know, praise the Lord, we're in a loving environment full of Christ. But when you go from here to your schools, right, it's not a sanctified environment, right? There's a lot of things being thrown at you. Again, social media, a lot of things being thrown at you, right? So you need to watch it. You need to guard, be vigilant. Maybe you gotta, you know, turn it off or walk away. But we need to be careful. And so I just share a quick experience of I had of guarding my heart, and that was regarding working. When I was started working, I was working at a branch, and I met a customer there, and he seemed to be, you know, he was very you know, doing very well. His business seemed to be doing really well. And he was an investment banker who became a environmental technologist. And I was like, whoa, you know, I studied environmental sciences in college. And so we really hit it off. And he started talking about, oh, you know, he's gonna, you know, he's meeting with the you know, the president of the United States. He's, you know, has these investors, high government officials. And he started talking about, you know, maybe working for him. You know, and I was, you know, very interested. I was very interested. But I prayed. I prayed to the Lord. I prayed with my wife. I also prayed with my brother. You know, is this of the Lord or not? We prayed, Lord, if this is not of you, close the door, right? And through that prayer, I got clear not to pursue this, not to pursue this. And I really felt that prayer really guarded, was a guarding, a real guarding. So like maybe 10 years later, so I'm like, I wonder what happened to that customer. So I looked them up online and found out he got put in prison because he was a con man. Like all the stuff that he did, he told all these investors what, you know, his technology could do was all false. And so eventually he got caught, and then those investors put him in prison. And so I was just like, Lord Jesus, thank you for guarding me, right? We were talking in our small group how, you know, this is one instance where I saw what the Lord protected me from. But like, you know, with the helmet of salvation, there's so many things being thrown at us that we're not even aware of, right? That the Lord is protecting us. So praise the Lord for the Lord's protection. But we ourselves need to guard ourselves. Don't open yourselves just to anything, right? Be careful what you open your heart to. We need to guard our heart. Amen. All right, I need to continue here. Let's go on to see, brothers. Whether there would be a day of glory in the church's victory or grievous days of the church's decline depends altogether on what kind of lovers we are. History tells us that the root of the church's decline was a loss of her first love toward the Lord. Amen. So that verse there, Revelation 2:4, but I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. That's the epistle to the church in Ephesus, that they had left their first love. This is a great church. They did wonderful things for the Lord. They hated the works of the Nicolaitans, right? Which is the clergy laity system, which the Lord also hates. He doesn't like just one person speaking. You know, in the conference is a different scenario, but in the normal church life, all members can function, right? All can speak. And that's necessary for the building up of the body. So this church was against that, you know, hated that, just like the Lord, but they lost their first love, right? And that word first is the same word used in Luke chapter 15, with the prodigal son, right? When he came back home, the father put on him the best robe, right? The best robe. So that first love, that word first is also best. So how can we love the Lord with our first love? We need to experience his compassion, his forgiving us. I think that in my looking back on my walk with the Lord, what really caused me to love him more is all the mistakes I've made, and then he forgave me. He forgave me of all my mistakes. Praise the Lord. So you're still young, maybe you haven't made a lot of mistakes, but just wait. But praise the Lord, he loves you, right? He forgives us of our sins. But by us receiving his forgiveness, it causes us to love him with our first love, right? Amen. Okay, how about sisters on D? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a promise. If you love him, he will give you the inheritance of the kingdom. Amen. E brothers, the incorruptible crown is a symbol of glory and beauty, given as a prize in addition to the Lord's salvation, to the triumphant runner of the Christians. Amen. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Paul at this time. Before I leave, just want to commend to you the readings for the small group time and give you the three questions real quick, okay, that you can help in your study. And the first question is, what are the four important points of receiving the Lord's speaking? Okay, first question is, what are the four important points for receiving the Lord's speaking? And then question two, what is the key to receiving the crown of righteousness? Okay, what is the key to receiving the crown of righteousness? And then question three, what are the two aspects of righteousness signified by the two garments, and why is it important? Okay, what are the two aspects of righteousness signified by the two garments, and why is it important? Amen.
Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Then declare three times, Lord Jesus, I love your appearing. I love your appearing. Lord Jesus, I love your appearing. Lord Jesus, I love your appearing. Amen. Thank you. Before I come to my portion, I still want to stress one thing. In this message, we're talking about receive the kingdom reward of Christ as a crown of righteousness. How do you receive this crown of righteousness? By loving his appearing. So love is the shortest way to receive the crown of righteousness. But what do you say if you don't have love? I think many of young people feel that, oh, I don't have that much love. My love is not powerful enough for this crown of righteousness. Then I will point you to 2 Timothy 1:7. Can someone turn to 2 Timothy 1:7? And when you turn to that verse, can you stand up and read for us? Anyone? No one? And maybe some of you already know how to memorize. For God did not give us the spirit of cowardice, but spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of sober-mindedness. Yeah. So here, very interesting. I just found out this weekend. How do you love the Lord? By exercising your spirit. And I never found out this before, but I realized something. Today, by ourselves, we are really powerless. We have no way to believe. We have no way, no power to love. But praise the Lord, the Lord prepared everything for us, right? How do you love Lord? How do you love His appearing? By exercising your spirit. The more you exercise your spirit, the more you will love the Lord, right? The more you exercise your spirit, the more you have power to stand against Satan's strategy, right? So even though we are talking about fighting, keeping this third one. The second one is finishing, and then the last one is receiving. The key for these four items is your spirit, your mingled spirit. So later on, I will cover that. So can we come to Roman numeral 2? Let's read together. In order to be awarded with Christ as our crown of righteousness in the next age, we must experience and enjoy Him as our subjective, live out righteousness in this age. Brothers, point A. Sister, point one. Brothers, point two. Amen. Sister, point B. Amen. Brothers. Amen. Sister. Amen. So this crown of righteousness actually is for those who experience and enjoy Christ as their righteousness. Praise the Lord. At the time of our believing, Christ as a righteous garment being put on us. But interestingly, there's a second garment indicated by these two sub-points. I don't know how to describe this in a proper way. There always has two aspects in one thing. And in the righteousness, there is the objective side, the subjective side, right? The objective side is on the day when we believe the Lord, we receive Christ as our covering. So He's our righteousness. So when God sees Christ, He will pass over us. Right? Because all the righteous requirement has been fulfilled by the Lord Himself as a covering for us. So He died, we don't have to die. Right? So this is the objective side. So by believing all this, we get saved. However, after that, it's just a beginning. Many Christians thought this is the end. Once I believe the Lord, I'm ready to go to heaven. But that's not so. Let me read another verse to you. Here is a 2 Corinthians 5:21. This verse says, him who did not know sin, which is Christ himself, he made sin on our behalf. God made Christ sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this verse always puzzles me. How come I, as a sinner, saved by grace, taking Christ as my righteousness, one day I can become the righteousness of God? Just think about it. A sinner become righteousness of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means by experiencing, enjoying Christ as our righteousness, one day we'll live out Christ as the real righteousness in our experience. And that will become the righteousness of God. Can you grasp that idea? By enjoying Christ as your righteousness, and one day you will express Christ, this righteous Christ, to everyone surrounding you. And that moment is the moment that you are the righteousness of God. Eventually, all of us, by enjoying Christ and experience Christ, we all will expressing Christ in such a way. So eventually, together, we will become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. This can only be done in Christ, which means it is in our mingled spirit. That's why I said the key for all these four aspects is our mingled spirit. I really appreciate Brother Ben talking about prayer reading. I just want to give you a little story about how this prayer reading come into being. You know, back in 1958, yes, I know that's predate your time, but anyway, there was a turmoil, big turmoil happened in Taiwan. Many young people left the church life. So that makes all the elders very troublesome. And particularly in Tainan, the city in Tainan, they are hard hit by this turmoil. This actually, the elder testified in one of the particular meeting. He said that while the elders coming together pray, they couldn't even pray, because the whole situation is too depressing, too dire. They cannot pray. So what did they do? Interestingly, one of the brothers just mentioned about, how about let's pray over a verse? Pray over a verse. So they try. You know, they never heard the term of prayer reading, but they just try to pray over a verse. And suddenly that become a nuclear reaction. The brothers was energized, was revived by prayer reading the word of God, of the Lord. I don't remember which verse they are mentioning about, but anyway, they brought this experience to Brother Lee, So Brother Lee, he did some study. That's why we know Ephesians chapter 6, talking about you have to take the sword of the Spirit by means of all prayer, right? Which the Spirit is the word of God. So that's the basis of our prayer reading. And also, Brother Lee found out that many, many dear brothers and sisters before us, who's a very godly person, they all have this practice, but they just don't have the term. They practice, and they even in their book recommend that you have to pray over the verses in the morning time. That's all. That would be much better than just simply pray to the Lord. So that's how the prayer reading come into being. And prayer reading is actually a very good way to exercise your spirit. But that's not what I want to say. What I want to say is the first thing in exercising your spirit is you have to exercise your conscience. The conscience actually is a window to your spirit, right? We know we have a heart, right? What does heart consist of? Our mind, our emotion, and our will, plus our conscience. So when you have a clear conscience and you'll be very easy to exercise your spirit, right? When you have a clear, unoffensed conscience, then exercise spirit, enjoy the Lord. That's very easy. So when we talk about exercise our spirit, first you need to have a clear conscience. Then you can talk about enjoying the Lord with His word. And also here talking about the other way to exercise your spirit is really to live your day-by-day life. Recently, there's a verse talking about walk in the Lord, right? Actually, this is about the winter training, talking about walk in the good land. And who is what is this good land? This good land actually is Christ Himself. And Christ Himself today is the all-inclusive spirit. So when you talk about walk in the good land, you actually talk about walk according to the spirit. So that's another way you can exercise your spirit. I just want to give you a little experience I had. Not many successful one, but nonetheless, some experience can help you to kind of grasp a little bit what is walking the spirit. I got married early compared to other saints. I got married when I was 23. My mom was shocked. Then we were shocked. I and my wife shocked. Why we were shocked? Because realized we are getting in the early days. So there's a lot of incompatibility there. So in the early day of our marriage, we had packaged the verses as a bomb to bomb each other. So one day I say, the Lord created Eve to help Adam. Then she shout back, say, yes, I'm helping you right now. So that's not walk in the spirit. That's not walk according to the spirit. But, you know, throughout all this failure, we learned something. After we came over to the United States, our argument continued. Quite a few times, she overpowered me. Then I had to flee. So during that period of time, my bathroom is my sanctuary. So I locked myself in the bathroom. Then I would talk to the Lord. And the key is here. I talk to the Lord. Lord, look at this woman. You marry me. Then the Lord shined on me. And He said that you're not any better than your wife. So I had to unlock the door, went to my wife, apologized to her. Say, sorry, I say such a word to you. Now, my point is that we need to learn to open to the Lord. Even in your anger, you want to kind of report evil doing of whoever you are not happy with. Do it. Even a brother told us in one of the conferences, even if you say, Lord, I hate you, the Lord will permit you to say that to him. Because by saying that, you are opening a little bit. Right? The Lord will only hear, Lord. The rest things he did not hear. He did not hear, I hate you. But he only hear, Lord. So throughout all this kind of process, practice, I just realized that, you know, every situation, it's a stitch. Every situation is a stitch. So what is this second garment? Is your encounter with the Lord. That causes you either gain him or gain by him. Each event, you gain him or you gain by him, it's a stitch. So I'm telling you something not very big. It's a very small things. But you know, even in these small things, the Lord can have a stitch on you. You know, here, the second garment actually is an embroider. Have you seen the wedding garment from the bride? Particularly Chinese one. Sorry, I don't have a chance to bring a picture over here. You know, the Chinese wedding garment, especially in the ancient time, the whole garment is full of embroidery. They embroider the phoenix and different kind of pattern on the whole garment. It takes time to stitch one by one. You know, this morning, I think I talked to one of the brothers. Some of the person who's are very good at embroidering, and they can put the whole picture, portrait with stitching. The whole portrait looks like a picture, photo picture, right? So, but it takes time. It's a very, very fine work. Today, God doesn't want to do a shallow work in us. He wants to do everything us stitch by stitch, right? So after so many years, I realized my wife is exactly what I need. I marry my wife is not for my pleasure. I marry my wife is for my growth, right? So one day, I can have my second garment ready. And interestingly, is that this second garment has to be prepared by everyone individually, right? This queen needs this second garment so she can be ready to meet her husband, right? The bridegroom. Amen. Hopefully this will help us to understand what is this objective side and subjective side of the righteousness. And I pray also, you also need to pray that every day you can receive Christ stitch into you. So one day together, we can become the righteousness of God. Okay. And also here, let me just talk a little bit regarding the theology. Many people mistaken. Once I got saved, I'm ready to go to heaven. And there's another kind of speaking talking about, once I got saved, if I'm not doing well, I'll be perished, even though I believe I become a believer. And neither one is correct. Neither one is correct. And by seeing this, these two garments, we know the Lord actually prepares something for us. The Lord prepares something for us. The first thing is that once we are saved eternally. Right? That's typified by the first garment. When we receive Christ as our covering, he's our righteousness, we are saved eternally. But, there's a big word there. Apostle Paul, in the Philippians, he mentioned about you need to work out your own salvation. Right? And that's the second garment talk about. So today, yes, we are saved eternally. But in order to receive this crown of righteousness as our reward, we need to work out the second garment, which is our subjective experience of Christ. Yeah, hopefully this will help you to understand what this portion means. Can we come to Roman numeral 3? Let's read together. The Lord will save me into his heavenly kingdom. Can we go to 2 Timothy 4:18? That's the verse in your booklet. Let's read the whole verse. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So here it tells us the result of this is that the Lord will save us into the heavenly kingdom by being infused, by enjoying and experience Christ as our righteousness, and then we become the righteousness of God. The Lord will save us into his heavenly kingdom. I want to give you a little diagram. What is the heavenly kingdom or the kingdom of heavens? If you have the chart in your Bible, you will see this is like a miniature part. The whole two circle is actually the kingdom of heavens. Okay, that includes our current age, which is the age of grace, and also the coming age, which is the millennial kingdom, right? And it starts from the ascension of the Lord all the way until the end of the millennial kingdom. So this whole part is called the kingdom of heavens or the heavenly kingdoms. So here, this this portion is talking about this period of time. Can brother read point A? Amen. 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 The manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens. Amen. So here there are many terms. The kingdom of heavens, the kingdom of the Father, of their Father, the kingdom of my Father, the kingdom of Christ and of God, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All these terms are denotes to the same period of time. The kingdom of heavens. Okay, sister, point one. Amen. That means that when we enter into this kingdom, we'll be feasting with the Lord, right? The Lord, after he established the table, said, I will not drink this product of the grape until I drink with you anew. Amen. Point two, verse brothers. Amen. So the kingdom, in one hand, is the reward. In the other hand, is inheritance. Is inheritance. Whether you can enjoy that inheritance depends on today. How much you enjoy him, how much you take him in. Okay, point three, sisters. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So here I want to read some verses to you. Matthew 10:39. Here it says, he who finds his soul life shall lose it, and he who loses his soul life for my sake shall find it. So in this age, there is a condition. What is the condition? The condition is that those who follow the Lord need to pass through the narrow gate and walk on the constricted way. Yeah. No one can be exception. In Chinese, we say, you cannot put your feet on two boats. Right? You cannot put your feet on two boats. You can do either this or that. So to us, the real lover of Christ, in this age, we need to learn to lose our soul. Right? My relationship with my wife is a process of losing soul, right? I still remember one night, I was sleeping already, and she woke me up. He said, blah, 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 get up. I said, what's going on? He said, go up there, check if the door locked or not. So she's not, she didn't feel the brothers, the college brother can do the good job, keep the door locked. So she woke me up. How hard it is to wake up during the night. Well, if I'm maybe 10 or 20 years younger, I would say forget about it, and then I turn over to sleep. But that night, I woke up and put on my clothes and go up there and check on the door. Seemingly, it's not joyful, not comfortable in your soul. But I'm there learning to endure with the Lord. So I just hope that we will know this age is not the age for us to enjoy. If you enjoy your life, sorry, you are going to lose your enjoyment in next age. But if you learn, take every opportunity, even to suffer with the Lord, then you will find out this coming age will be much more enjoyable. So I just want to encourage all the young people, because I don't want to say too much, but if you go before the Lord, You ask the Lord, Lord, what takes my life of love away from you? If you can pray to the Lord, Lord, what takes away my love for you? The Lord will shine on you. I know many of you like to play a game, right? Maybe on the cell phone, maybe on the game machine. I would not say you shouldn't play it, because I know even I say so, you are not going to do it. But I would like to encourage you. This is my personal experience. While you're playing game, whatever game it is, I encourage you to call on the name of the Lord at the same time. I'm not joking. I did that myself. And by calling on the name of the Lord, and interestingly, a period of time after, I was able to drop the joystick and not have second thought about it. Give it a try. You know, today, if you pray to the Lord will shine on you. How much or how many things or person or events drawn your love away from the Lord? I don't have to list them. And you just go before the Lord and ask the Lord to shine on you, right? Then you deal with the Lord one by one. Then everything you deal with the Lord, it becomes one stitch in you, right? So if you are willing, by prayer, by exercising your spirit, right? The spirit is a spirit of power. This power will empower you to overcome many things that you don't think you can overcome. Yeah, so I think I will conclude this way. Do everything by exercising your spirit. No matter your get up, go to bed, your school work, your school, your relationship with your classmates, friend, spouse, everything. Do everything in your spirit. When I was in Young People Conference, the brother really helped us. He said that before you do your homework, put all your homework on your desk, then you pray. Lord, I want you to do homework with me. Every morning when you get up, while you're brushing your teeth, you say, good morning, Lord Jesus. How hard it is. But we don't have that habit yet, right? So I hope that bit by bit, we can build up habit. We have a good relationship with the Lord by exercising our spirit in everything we do. Then eventually you will experience we have this kind of subjective righteousness, and we are able to lose our soul in this age and inherit that soul in much more fuller enjoyment in the coming age. Amen. Can we have some prayer before we break into groups? Amen.